Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're never going to believe it. The other day, my landlord sends a gardener over and they do up my entire garden, like top to tail, like the whole works. She's had a good scrub. She's looking so fresh. And it honestly makes me feel like my life is together. Like it feels incredible.
I thought they basically left that to you and you had decided to renovate that little veggie patch yourself and did all the work yourself.
We don't know what the rules are. I'm pretty sure the rules on flat gardens is that you have to do it yourself. But it got to a point, I guess, where it's so chaotic that they sent... It was just so overgrown. And I felt 22. You know, I felt like, you know, it's my first flat and I'm just like treating it terribly and I'm not looking after the garden. And so for someone to come over and for it to all be neat and in a line and everything's trimmed, I've manscaped my flat and it feels good.
Just in time for spring, can I bloody say, you could be out there with a couple of G&Ts, a couple of pals, you know, or even a non-alcoholic drink, which are also valid.
But for pussies.
For little wimpies.
I have to say, I don't really like the term manscaped. However, I would use it in the sense of I do think there is some stuff that is manscaping. And I think maybe it's because if you use tools that are branded manscaping, then it's manscaping. Do you know what I mean by that?
The campaign of Manscaped is unbelievable. The power and just how many celebrities are in Manscaped ads and how many, we must be the only podcast to not be sponsored by Manscaped.
And we will never, ever take a dirty cent from their hairy little mouths.
Nah. Well, I don't say Manscaped. I feel like I say shaving my balls is what I will say.
Cue theme song.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Welcome along to another...
I'm so sorry.
I swear to God, I'm going to get a hammer and I'm going to crush that motherfucking watch into smithereens.
You know, I actually...
It is unbelievable. It sends me into a pit of rage. Shut it up. It's getting more...
I'm trying to. Now, the last time you got angry at me... You got angry at me about this. I actually went in, shut off the feature so that it no longer listens in and pipes up. That was just because I went on a run and returned minutes before this podcast started and I didn't officially close off and tell my watch that I'd finished the run.
I don't know what it is that pisses me off about hearing a little watch chirp up. I'm just like, fucking mind your own business. Like, tell me the time and get it. I think maybe because I don't have an iWatch. Like, if your phone went off, I'd be much more forgiving because I could be like, that could be me. But because it's your watch.
Call it an iWatch is a huge display that you don't have one because they are called Apple Watches.
I honestly think they're so annoying. Like, I don't think they're dumb. They just annoy me. And I don't know why.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. Do you know what they are? They're fucking ugly. And I wear it every day for function. And then sometimes I'm getting dressed to go out. And then I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, something's wrong. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's because I'm wearing this numpty, stupid little watch with this blue. And also because I bought one that was like black. And black all over. So it was like as simple as you could go. And then when I lost it in the ocean because it got swept away at Omaha Beach, I got a new one from my contents insurance and then I wasn't allowed to choose the color. So now it's fucking blue.
And you didn't take that as a sign. Sick. You didn't think that was a sign that nature was like, you don't need this. We're taking it off you. Like, be free. We'll deal with this. We'll deal with this Apple Watch.
I love
it's for the mermaids.
Thank you for using the correct term. But I love to go on a run without my phone on me, and that is what this watch has enabled me
you
to
have
do. I just
your
did
phone
it.
On you. Oh, but I guess you want music. Put
yeah,
the watch
I listen to music.
In the earphones. Put the watch in. If they could do that, put the music in the pods. They would
have the greatest technology I've ever seen. Do you remember the iPod Shuffle?
Yes.
There was for a brief period, and this is in the same way that every treadmill has a plug for like an iPhone 4, like the very fat, like all treadmills got made in that generation of iPhone, and they haven't made any new ones since then. But there was, during the era of the iPod Shuffle, there were some headphones. You know the ones that go back around your head like that? And then yes. There was a little gap in here, and you could slot your iPod Shuffle, click it into one side of the ears. And I was like, that is unbelievable. Like, bring that back.
Bring that back. I just want my music in my, like, this makes me sound so Gen X, but I want my music. And I want my photos on my phone. I don't want them in the cloud. Mm. I'm sick of being on a plane, being miles up in the sky, and thinking to myself, I've got 45 minutes. I'm going to look at some photos from 2015. Because that's what you do on a plane. And lo and behold, they're all foggy. They're all out of focus because the clouds got them.
It's unbelievable the amount of times there are files that I frequently need. And every time I go to get them, it says downloading for the cloud and it makes me bloody wait. And that's not what is
I
the
took
point
that,
of being yes. alive today?
What is the point of being alive today? I took that goddamn photo so that I could look at it on a plane.
Yeah.
4 years later. Give it back.
And that's what you thought at the time. You were like, I'm going to get this photo.
Mother Nature.
At Puzzle Land in Wanaka. So that in 5 years' time,
yes.
I can look at it on a plane.
On a plane. And be like, I remember that. That was a good time. The cloud gives me my photos back. And the ocean, give Eli's watch back.
Please, Mother Please. Nature. You're ruining our lives.
Have I ever told you about when Hayley Sproul dropped her phone in the ocean? It was one of the greatest moments. It was one of the greatest learning moments. Hayley Sproul, dear friend of mine, host of Have You Been Paying Attention?
She's actually, I'm friends with her as well. I'll claim it.
Oh, you're tight. You're super tight. We were on a boat. We were doing fishing. We were doing a show in the comedy festival. We had a day off and we're like, let's go on a boat. And so we're on the boat and we're in the water. We're deep in the water and we're having a lovely time. And Hayley's holding her phone in her hand, kind of resting her arm over the side of the boat, holding her phone. Mm. And she's kind of looking at it. We're kind of like, yeah, it's pretty crazy what you're doing. You're sort of being a bit sort of... And this is like 2000 and I'm going to say 14. So to have an iPhone in 2014, like, let's just give some context there. It's a big deal.
And that would be a 4 or that. I think that might be a 5.
Hard out. That
I
might
think
be
that
a
could
5.
Be a 5.
And
yeah.
I couldn't tell you what that looks like, but it was a big step up from the 3, which was an oval.
Round at the back.
On the back. And she just holds her phone, looks at it, and then she just opens her hands. And her phone goes to the bottom of the ocean. It just sinks. And she goes, oh my God. And she was like, I don't know why I did that. And it's like, yeah, no one knows why you would do that. Why did you do that? And she's just like, I just had that moment of like, what if I just let go? And then her body just let go. And she dropped. She just held her phone above the water and then just dropped it and it just sunk and we never saw it again. And we just kept thinking about it. Like, it's just in the ocean. It's just at the bottom of the ocean. Like there, the phone is still there.
That's just the intrusive thought winning. For some reason today, the phrase intrusive thought has been in my head, but that is an intrusive thought.
What's an intrusive thought?
Like when an intrusive thought is just like, the classic is like when you're driving down the road and there's pedestrians and you're like, oh, I could just and fucking ruin lives.
Oh,
I reckon... Okay, I don't know if I've ever shared this story, but it's dark. When I was
it was a dark and stormy night.
This is straight from the dark web. When I was quite young, maybe I'm younger than 5, maybe I was 3. I don't know. But anyway, we're at Garden City Bowl.
Oh my God. And I have not thought of Garden City Bowl in like 20 years. A bowling alley?
Yeah.
Garden City Bowl.
Anthony Samuels and Jason Farfoy there. They were there together bowling. Probably a work bonding trip.
And honestly, they could have been 19.
Yeah. I always think about, so me and Guy did some bowling before the gala when we had that little break the other day, and I was watching the little CGI characters that come up tell you what your score was. And I remember when those first came to Garden City Bowl, and there was a TV ad campaign to let you know that there were fun new animations telling you what score you got.
And that is the life I'm wanting to bring back. Like, I want to know that Garden City Bowl have updated their animations. Like, how do we get back to that level where I'm like, there's too much international news. I don't need to know what Harry Styles is up to. I want to know if Garden City Bowl have updated their animation.
It's more important to me than every single stage of King Charles becoming king.
100%.
Anyway, we're at Garden City Bowl one time. I believe it's even my mum's birthday, and we're on a family trip to the bowling alley, and this is the intrusive thought winning. Slash, maybe it was just by accident. Anyway, I'm a haunted child, I guess. I think I dropped a bowling ball on my mum's foot on purpose.
You little brat. It was her birthday, and you weren't getting the attention. Wow.
She broke her toe. And for real. And I truly think it was just the intrusive thought winning. And it's crazy that I'm not. I think I should be a more haunted adult because of what I was like as a child. That's one of the worst things I've ever, 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 ever done. It lives with me every day. And really? I don't even know if it was on purpose. I might have just dropped it. But
have you probably apologized?
The retellings of it from the family. What?
Have you properly apologized as an adult?
That's a really good question.
You should be like, Mum. And I want to invite you somewhere. Is Garden City Bowl still standing?
Surely not. No, it is. It is.
I can't tell you. Where is it?
It's in the same location. It's somewhere near Morehouse Ave, like near where
that's
the
what I was thinking.
Near the Denny's. It's in the vicinity, but I couldn't tell you exactly where.
God, I love Morehouse Ave. An incredible road. An avenue. You should invite her back to Garden City Bowl. Sit her down. Give her the ball and say, you can drop it on mine or forgive me.
I give you my foot.
Give me my foot.
Unless you give me your forgiveness.
Beautiful. And that is your next show. That's how you top the gay dad one.
Oh my God, at the end of the show, my mom walks in holding a bowling ball. I take my shoe off.
Yes.
I bear it. She holds it over. Lights drop.
Lights drop, and you hear the whispered words, I forgive you.
No, you hear, ow! Oh! Ow! Me drag myself off stage.
You go. No, I was going to talk about how JJ Feeney's rolled her foot or sprained it, broken her foot. I've been following it a lot.
It's a massive journey on socials.
It's huge. It's like King Charles is Don't Worry Darling, and it is JJ Feeney, the Scandal Queenie's broken foot. Every day, another photo of her foot on Instagram.
She used to be the Scandal Queenie. Now, to me, she is the queenie of posting feet on Instagram unprompted and for free, which is like, girl, you could make some money.
She is filling her wiki feet.
Yeah. Wiki feet, bloody, the brim runs over. Is that what? Their cup runneth over.
Their brim runneth over. Wiki, it runs over the brim.
Yeah.
The brim.
Does a cup have a brim or a hat has a brim?
A hat has a brim. A cup has a... You'd salt the rim of a glass.
Cup has a rim. The rim runneth over.
What else has a brim? I'm sure I've heard brim somewhere else.
Brim, brimini, brim, bimini, no. Brim, brim,
actually,
brim.
No. Actually, no. Okay. Put that one to bed.
And I want to say thank you for telling me no, because it's so important to hear that
sometimes. Before we got into JJ, you want to tell me what you were going to say, which I felt like was more important.
I saw a film this morning. A gay film. I saw the gay film Bros, Billy Eichner's big budget rom-com. The first sneaky screening. Only six of us there.
Gay movie. To ever
be made.
To be made with gay people and gay ushers at the cinema.
Every session has to have gay ushers. All these cinemas are like, please. The cinema in Tumuno is like, please, honestly, are there any gay teenagers who want to
I would say
film?
An usher at a movie cinema is a pretty gay job.
It's gay to be into cinema.
It's gay to be
it's
into cinema.
It's gay to like movies. Yeah. Although in this day and age of fucking every film was Marvel, is it gay to like cinema anymore? or have we collectively all moved to television?
Yeah, it's gay to like TV.
Yes, really. TV is so gay. You're like a 10-episode serial, you little fag. I'm watching House of Dragon. That's not very gay, but I've never watched Game of Thrones, but I'm getting into the new season.
Yeah, start at the prequel and work your way through. I wanted to hear your thoughts on Bros. I haven't seen
Bros
it. I was invited to this intimate screening, but I didn't go.
Fair enough.
Bigger fish to fry.
Honestly.
I feet pick to look at from JJ Feeney.
I want to stay home and keep update on JJ's journey. Honestly, it's a great film with lots of funny jokes that handles some huge lofty themes in a really nice way. I kind of like it finished and I was like, oh, I laughed and really enjoyed it. And then the car ride home, I was like, no, that was actually a really quality top to bottom movie.
This.
Honestly, and I think because we've so rarely seen rom-coms on the big screen recently, and when we have seen them, like, for instance, I went to see Tickets to Paradise the other day, which was, despite George Clooney and Julia Roberts obviously being beautiful, luminous movie stars who I love to watch, and they were good, but also was a borderline racist and quite bad movie with not many laughs.
5 stars.
5 stars. But
out
Bros
of 50,
is like... Bros was like great performances. Everyone was really funny, and I really felt like it kind of is like weirdly meta without feeling like too meta, but it feels very like tied to Billy Eichner's personal life and his career. Also tied to, like, it feels like it's very conscious of the fact that it is this massive moment for queer film. It is massive that we've got this like big budget rom-com going to the cinemas, and it's kind of conscious of the fact that is also a film with a gay white male cis lead, and kind of doesn't just deal with that in a cursory like one reference way, but actually repeatedly that is part of what's being discussed in the films. He is on the board of directors for a LGBTQIA+ museum, which doesn't sound like a great storyline, but it actually is a great storyline. Also, Deborah Messing is in the film playing herself.
It is very hard to think of a job for someone in a movie. I think it's possibly one of the hardest things you could ever think of. Because you're just like
always get...
arborist? You know, it's just
I know.
Random.
And I get so annoyed at series when, for instance, it's a sitcom about starring a comedian and it's been developed to showcase the comedian, and then they do stand-up comedy in the show, like Mae Martin's Feel Good. But then when you watch it and you see them and I'm like, no, but it's integral to the storyline. It actually makes complete sense and this is a good show. And to if Mae had to like convert, because it's based on their life, convert their story into a different job, it wouldn't make sense.
Yes. It's just crazy that, like, we're like, stories should represent everyday people. But it's like the people that tell the stories are actors and writers and comedians. Their lives are just so wrapped up in being a performer that it's very hard to tell the story of, like, someone who has any other job apart from being a performer. Like, it's impossible. It's just crazy when someone has another job.
In Bros as well, it's hard to work out exactly where he's come from, but he hosts a popular podcast.
What do you think is the most normal job you can have?
Really good question. Teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Because we all know one.
What kind of teacher?
And we've seen them work. I would say high school teacher, either English or math. And that is so normal. Maybe science had a push.
Maybe science had a push. Yeah, I reckon the most normal job I can think of in Aotearoa would be like a civil, like someone who works for government.
Oh, I mean, if you're in Wellington. Shit,
everyone.
Yeah.
You name one person who hasn't got their slimy little feet in government in Wellington.
So I've never lived in Wellington, but I spent a lot of time there. Well, my my dear boyfriend Sim was.
Well, you were
going
to say partner, weren't you?
I was. I kind of am using it a bit more recently. Hello. Maybe I'm evolving. I don't hate it.
I feel like boyfriend is like grow up. You know, if you've been together for a significant amount of time, it just sounds like you've just started seeing him.
Yeah, I guess up until this year, though, we'd never lived together before. So boyfriend felt kind of correct. Also, he's still not even in his 30s yet.
He's still not out.
It's for his job.
Which is
anyway.
A teacher, a science teacher.
When I used to go to house parties in Wellington, it was unbelievable how, like, the gossip was so different than parties in Tamaki Makaurau or Christchurch, where you go to parties, there's gossip about all sorts of stuff. But I felt like every house party I went to in Wellington, everyone was just gossiping about the government and talking about which politicians they know. And like, talking
boring.
About which branch of the government they work in. And, like, God, yeah.
I used to love a house party. Like, I love the energy of a house party. And I just, they're just no longer happening, like, in the way that they used to. And I keep thinking to myself, wake up. Like, wake up. You're living in a flat. Have some people over.
You should have a house party.
Get a group of people in the kitchen. Have some drinks in the lounge. You know, like, people smoking outside. Let rip. But I also think I'm, like, would set that up and I instantly hate it. But I've had some house parties, like, over New Year's. That's a New Year's party, but it's just in a house.
Quite nice for a party as well.
It's set up for that.
I need to have people around to my house. Like, my house is truly, you're one of the very few of my friends who's been inside these four walls.
But it's a secret.
It is a little secret place, but I do want to do kind of a grand opening, a little debutante ball. But I think I want to get a rug and a new TV before anyone sees it.
Get the rug, get the TV. I think a sideboard or something, you know, like, set up the TV. Like, what is the TV on? Because I think it's on a very small thing at the moment.
It's on a piece of shit set of drawers. But I think we're going to get the frame. And I think we're going to put it above the fireplace. But then I'm like, is it going to overheat? I don't know. We'd barely use the fire.
I love when someone gets the frame, and I love that the frame is the frame. Like, it is not a frame TV. It is not, oh, that TV, that looks like art. It's just called the frame, and I immediately know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The male gaze, the frame, you know.
They're both as iconic as each other.
God, I really wanted the frame for a bit, but I went for a projector. Famously,
the projector's
frameless.
Awesome.
So good.
Your projector's great. We couldn't do a projector in my... Like, we don't have... Our
house is
lounge
built for the frame.
It is built for the frame. Because it really is built for the frame.
It's art deco. You know, art is in the title. The frame is art. Like, the frame is art.
Thank you. And there's just not many places you can put the TV. Where it is now, it actually shouldn't go. And it's actually a terrible place for a TV. But there's nowhere else it could go. And it frustrates me every dang day. And it's too far away, and the TV is small, and when I'm playing Fortnite, I can't read the text, so I can't see what weapon I'm using.
Oh, my God.
What I'm sort of going
through.
That's
a teenage problem.
I know. That's a I've got a boyfriend problem.
That's I've got a boyfriend. You don't have a fact of a gay, do you? Or do
Absolutely
you?
Not. This whole podcast was really built around us testing a new recording format. So that was kind of my main focus.
No, I was just like, you know, on the drive back here, thinking to myself, like, what is the need of the fact of the gay? Do we need it? And I was like, we've had it since day one. And I feel like it just gives us something we build up, and we've got the fact of the gay, and then we just settle. And I know that I don't have one. And it crossed my mind. Like, I went on websites looking for something, and I couldn't find anything. But I guess what I wanted to talk about today a little bit was about this whole, like, I feel like the issue of queer baiting is very prevalent at the moment. It's huge discourse with, like, Harry Styles and him being, like, queer baiting through, I guess, wearing a feather boa and sparkles. And then recently, the star of Heartstopper, like, deleted his Twitter, right?
He had to go offline. That was awful.
And because everyone's like, you're queer baiting because he held hands with a girl? Is that what it is? I didn't fully read the story.
I mean, also in the show, he plays a bisexual character. So, and people are bisexual, and people are queer in lots of different ways. So someone holding hands with a girl doesn't necessarily mean anything about how they define themselves.
But it's interesting in the sense of, like, I guess when we talk about queer baiting originally, it was like, in order to, like, I could say, I think what Harry Styles is doing sometimes is a little baity, but I'm like, bait me. Like, I want to be baited. And I think it's like he's clearly trying to sell more of what he's got to, like, a bigger queerer audience. And we're kind of on board with that. Mm. Whereas, like, this actor in Heartstopper, it's like, he's not... For what? What is he baiting us for? Like, he got a role and he's living his life. And he's not, like, gaining any kind of capital off baiting gay teenagers.
I don't even know why that's defined as queer baiting to necessarily play a certain role. And especially when you're that young, because it's not... We can't expect bloody 17, 18-year-olds to have their sexual orientation all worked out anyway. I tell you, God. Two people who did not have their sexual orientation worked out. Number one, Eli Matheson. Number two, Chris Parker. We were 100. In our 20s by the time we got there, baby.
Exactly. Oh, my God. I know. To have the internet. One, to have the internet when you're a teenager. And two, to have an internet platform when you're a teenager scares me because... Oh,
so
I just
scary.
Like the idea that I had to make any full sentence at the age of like 17, 18. I was like, yeah, but I don't know, like random, like that's how any point I made sounded when I was that age. Just so totally. Insecure and unconfident to make any firm statement in my life.
We used to get so criticized for saying the word like all the time. And guess what? We were saying it too much and probably still do.
When someone says, is it like that or is it? Or is it that? That drives me crazy.
I hate that.
And I'm like, you know
I
what?
Hate that.
It's like that. It's like that.
And that's the way it is. I will say, a little bit of Run DMC.
No, not a little bit of Run DMC. It was a little bit of Run DMC and a lot of phlegm.
A huge cough.
That's the way it is.
The Harry Styles thing pisses me off. I will say, not all of, like, I actually think... A, he's hot as hell. B, yeah. The music's great. C, I can't wait for the concert. But
D,
I want it. But I find his, I've always held a secret problem that I wasn't really talking about the fact that he would always say, like, constantly reassured that he didn't want to define his sexuality while also using all these signifiers for bisexuality in his lyrics and in his music video content. And I was like, basically just it kind of quietly frustrated me that someone who has the power to make so much change, who has such a huge audience, isn't
honestly though I'm like
no but no let me finish okay. It though, but the reason it's really pissed me off now is that
you're gonna drop a fucking bowling ball on his foot.
I am. Well, he did this interview about Don't Worry Darling, this gay policeman film, and then he talked about the sex scenes in the film, and he said they finally show, like, tenderness and softness in gay sex as opposed to just two men going at it, which is what we normally see in the film, which is so
wrong.
Not true. We never see two men going at it. We
the camera.
Always see tender, soft script. The camera and Call Me By Your Name pants to a fucking tree. And yeah. That makes me feel like the queerness is a little bit showy because I'm like, how are you so disconnected from the history of queer cinema that you would make a statement so false? I don't know.
I'm like, if you watch any of Xavier Dolan films, like, it's hot sex. And I would say
it's hot,
tender and queer, but it's also fun. Or, like, there's quite a, like, I don't know, Weekend's got some, like, crazy stuff. And I'm like, I guess speaking out about anything, you know, you always have to make a conclusive statement that you totally don't get. Like, you, like, he's just talking out of his ass. He's no idea. Like, he hasn't watched gay sex on screen, probably.
No.
He's too busy kissing and painting his nails.
Yeah. But I guess I'm not saying everyone needs to label themselves and label exactly what they are, but the constant, like, toying with it. And it's not his fault. He's asked about it by the media all the time. But he does use lots of queer symbolism. And then at this point, I'm like, are you queer in any true way? Because
holding the bowling ball above his foot.
Holding the bowling ball above his
Harry,
foot.
Harry, listen to me. Are you queer in any way? He's like, not really. Ball, drop, foot, broken. I think, with him, it's like, he is not smart enough to comprehend and articulate what he's got in his hands, like what he is dealing with right now, which is like, he's pretty popular and
he's the biggest star in the world right now, I would say, at this point.
Yeah. And his huge queer audience adoring him in a way and wanting more from him and what he symbolizes. And he has probably got himself in a bit too deep. And with this policeman movie, it's like where he's playing a gay character. It's like, I think it's like, it's just, he's not great in interviews. He should probably be like, honestly, I don't know. Like, it would be so great to hear a celebrity. Yes, like, be honest. Just be like, listen, I'm so honored to play this role. It was such a great experience. I think lots of people are going to see this movie because I'm in it. And I'm playing a gay role. When it comes to representation of, like, gay people in movies, I'm like, I'm not the expert here. I'm Harry fucking Styles. I was in a boy band.
Yeah.
It would be so great to see more, like, honest celebs in that sense.
Yeah, I'd love... It's so good when people front foot and say, oh, I don't really know the answer to that. It's so honest. It's so brave. You know who's queer betting I like, though? Just because it's hot. I find Charlie Puth very hot.
What do you think?
What are your thoughts?
He's being a grubby little skank online, isn't he?
He feels like
there was a video of him like pretending to bottom or something. I saw that popping up somewhere.
I saw that on Twitter today, and I have no idea the context. I watched it without audio. I don't know what the sounds were, but my neighbor's daughter's crying in the background. I don't know if you can hear.
I was like, it sounds like you've got a kid, and I sort of loved that.
Do you think I should have one? Because if you say yes, I will. I'll put it in motion today.
I just don't know what you'd be like with a kid, honestly. Like, I think you'd be like, oh, like, she's got red hair, like, 2 years into her being alive.
Oh, because of my detail orientation.
Yes.
Michael, the girl next door, a girl called Michael, amazing. She's got red hair. And I can tell you that. I've noticed that. And I've only lived here 5 months.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I think you'd step up to the plate. You just, like, of all my friends, like, I would say I'm, like, really late all the time. But I'd say you're just as late to things as well. And I feel like parents are like, all my friends who have kids are the ones who are always, like, on time. They're organizers.
Yeah, I hear you.
But
I really appreciate your honesty, because I will say, people tell me I'd be a great dad all the time, but those people are always straight. And I do think people think all gay people would be good dads.
They are, because they want to see it. But I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want to be left with that. I don't know. Do you honestly want a kid?
Right now? No. Yeah. But.
Imagine coming home from radio. You're so tired. And it's like, here is something that needs unconditional support and love from you, and will not take I'm tired as an excuse at all.
Yeah. Some days Meg gets to work and she's like, I have 4 hours sleep, and that is a good day. Like,
can I tell you what's like,
at once?
Can I tell you what's iconic about this chat? Yeah. It's Tim Batt, our producer, who's got his camera off on this call and his mic off and has recently had a baby while we have this conversation in front of him.
Just kind of speculating. I want to say, Chris, Tim Batt on this call right now is late often and has a kid, so it can be done.
No, but Tim's organized. Like, Tim organized gigs. He's like,
yeah, he's an organizer.
We've got to get these people into government. Let's set up a comedy fundraiser for that person. Like takes initiative. Whereas I just think, do I think you could love a child unconditionally? Yes. I think you could handle the pressure of fatherhood in a way? Eventually. Do I think you would have to sacrifice some stuff that you ultimately would make you quite grumpy? Yes.
I think you're really right about the grumpiness, 100%. But I do think, I would say, I rise to the challenge of most things.
Yeah.
And so I think I could do it. But I guess it's not about...
If you want a kid, I will support you, like, 100% of the way.
I want one more now because you're being so skeptical about me.
I'm not being... I think you can do it.
Okay.
I want to know if you want it.
I don't want it anytime soon.
Okay. Well, that's solved.
But maybe someday. Because we have to... Sam and I have got a line. We're making our wills. And one of the... And when I say making our wills, I mean we talked about it with our lawyer 5 months ago and have done nothing. But one of the things that we talked about in their meeting was... Maybe I shouldn't have a kid. Was like... the things that need to be laid out in your will. And like... There's basically a sentence to add, like, even though you don't have kids at the time, basically, if you have kids, like, what would be left to them? And we did have the discussion where we were like, do we put that in? Neither of us want kids right now, but is that the final call on kids for us, or will we eventually change our mind?
I think, like, a good test for me with kids is, like, I'll hang out with nieces and nephews and all that kind of, and like friends' kids, and I'll love it. And I'll feel these like paternal feelings and can feel it kind of rising inside of me. And then I'm like, okay, I want to go on my phone now. And that urge, like the desire to do that, for me is the sign that I am not willing to sacrifice my alone time for the life of another.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I see this kid once every 6 months and I can't not be on my phone right now. I'm tired.
I have to put my phone in a different room when I'm with the kids. Yeah. I have to put my phone in a different room when I go to Christchurch. I say I would go to my sister's house. I say, "Where's your charger?" And I put it on the charger in a different room.
And that's strategic.
I do have no patience. Here's two reasons that I shouldn't have kids. Number one, my nephew is a really fussy eater, and in the same, probably, I think I'm pretty sure I was a fussy eater at the same level, but then. His approach to food, I get so frustrated because the other day we bought him some like chicken nibbles and chips and they were the wrong type of chicken nibbles, so he didn't eat them, so he just had chips. And I already was like, we should go to this place because I know they do like chicken nibbles and chips and I know that's what he likes, but the chicken nibbles weren't his. And I was like, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it.
Do you know what I think? Actually, this is the thing I think. I think you'd get mad at your own kids in a way that is like, come on, like they can't, and like you'd be like silent and a bit like pissed off. And the way
I'd hold a grudge.
And then like 4 years later, you'd be like, "Can I talk to you for a second? Sorry, when you were two, I took you to this cafe, and I have been holding on to this for 2 years, and I finally need to let you know that it pissed me off." And they'd be like, "I genuinely, my brain hadn't fully developed."
Yeah, they're like, my taste buds weren't formed yet.
Like,
the other thing that kids do that makes me loser is like when you're like, and this is so bad that I don't have patience for this, but you know when you're like walking down the street and like a toddler will just like walk straight up in your way because they don't have spatial awareness. Every time I'm like, oh my, I get so bad.
Oh my God, I'm going to call it. Like, don't have them. You don't want them. I proposed to you this question.
Yeah.
Eli, it's you. You're at Garden City Bowl. You're having the time of your life.
It's my birthday.
Your fucking birthday. And you want to be treated like a king. Your son comes up to you and just looks at you dead in the eyes with a little grin, drops a fucking bowling ball on your foot and breaks your toe. How do you react in that moment?
I say, you know what? In 15 years' time, you better have an award-winning comedy festival show about this moment. Otherwise, this wasn't worth it, cunt.
I can see you getting genuinely mad at your own kids.
Of course. I'm not talking to them again. I'd be like, you need something, you go through Sam.
I'm not dealing with you. Just getting like passive-aggressive, giving your kids the cold shoulder.
Yeah, that would be me.
It'll learn them. It'll teach them. I love that.
Do you have a queen of the week?
Jennifer Coolidge. I'm so glad. Oh, wait. We should let this thing happen. Queen of the week.
Queen of the week.
Jennifer Coolidge. I mean, come on. She's... In the way it is to like Jennifer Coolidge as a gay man, which feels somewhat sort of cliche now, she's still an icon. And she's still a comedic powerhouse. And... the way she held herself throughout the Emmys, it's like she's giving performance art. Like, I don't know where the woman begins and the character starts.
I know exactly what you mean. The speech was perfect. The thing about
the
person she liked who's dead was made me lose the plot.
Wait, now Jennifer, is there somebody that you got your eye on in there? If you could shoot your shot with anybody, who would it be?
Who would it be? Well, I was very excited about somebody. I can't say their name, but I found out today he's dead.
Oh.
Oh.
So we're so sorry.
The funniest writing, the funniest takes, holding herself with complete authenticity. Now, there is a woman I would let queerbait me.
Absolutely. And she doesn't need to have a slice of gay in her.
No.
She has been probably one of, if not my favorite actor since I was... 8, I reckon. I saw her in Best in Show and I was like, this is the most fabulous woman I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been obsessed ever since.
She is unstoppable. Nothing but the hits. She's so funny. Endlessly funny. And to see funny like that get decorated is just... it's just like, yeah, that's right. That's right. She deserves an Emmy.
Can I give us a secondary Queen of the Week?
Of course
also
you may.
Also Emmy related.
Queen of the Week.
Lizzo, who, yeah. I don't know if she's ever been Queen of the Week, but what a hot streak she's been on. And to end RuPaul's Drag Race's run of winning Best Competition Reality Show, go off, queen. Get them.
Get them. Get those them, little dancing queens. I feel like Lizzo is could easily fall into this, like, Anne Hathaway, Jennifer Lawrence effect of like this rise in popularity that we see in women and people just immediately thinking you've had too much now and start to tear her down. And I feel like I see that discourse happen sometimes on the internet and I just like, she's just above it in my mind. Like, and I hope that it doesn't happen to her. But I feel like on TikTok, I see a lot of like Lizzo defense. You know, people being like, her outfit looks like a rubbish bag. And then people being like, you're being fatphobic. And this is couture. And she looks smoking. And like,
she always looks incredible. People are
always incredible. She's a fashion icon. She made the tiny bear handbag movement a thing.
Oh,
no one was doing tiny handbags before Lizzo did them.
And she did them so well. Hey, who would you like to win RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under as the finale approaches us this weekend?
I haven't watched the last episode, but... I'm going to guess who went home. So I'm guessing we've got left.
You're right.
Spanky. Hannah Conda.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Kong.
Yeah.
And I think, was it Molly Poppins?
There's only three in the finale.
Molly's gone.
Molly's absolutely gone.
So yeah, it's,
you got it right.
Wow. Is Queen representing New Zealand or Australia?
Hard to say. I think she maybe is representing Australia because she's Adelaide, right? I think she's like, or Western Australia, one of those two, and she is claiming that. But then on the show, she like did a tribute to South Auckland, and I don't know.
It's beautiful. I'm going to say with all my heart, the winner should be Miss Spanky Jackson. I would love to see Queen Kong on the throne with the crown. But there is just something inside of Spanky that I adore. And I would love to see that kind of queen awarded the winner of Drag Race. Like, just a queen who, in my eyes, you know, we've seen that talent since day one. Mm, and absolutely. Have adored her, like, since we fell, since we met her on House of Drag season 2.
Which she destroyed.
She destroyed. And it's just like seeing a queen who found drag through an authentic and innate desire to want to be a drag artist versus like the idea that it leads to fame. Because now there's a huge general, you see it and you know them immediately. And like, I feel like Beverly Kills was a great example of like a queen who's like, you know, it's like you can look fierce and you can get on Drag Race and you can build a social media thing and you can
and
be
you
like
learn to do the death drop and the splits and then you're good to go.
Whereas Spanky is like, you know, it's from a time she got into drag when like drag wasn't like cool. And I definitely remember that period of my life, like in the kind of 90s, 2000s, where like growing up, it was like a drag queen kind of was seen as a bit like odd or strange. Like that was sort of
a bit like kitschy.
Yeah. And in a way, it's like, you know, that's not my feelings or attitudes to it. But as a child, like you're kind of picking up on adults around you and their attitudes towards it. Mm. And to sort of persevere through that and still be 100% authentically you and so buoyant and funny. I'm just like, oh my God, she's just outrageous. Like, I would love to see an hour of Spanky Jackson live.
She's a queen of all queens. She gives me the energy of hanging out at the theater bar after the show.
Yeah.
Drinking sherry or something, you know? Like, she just is an old queen in the best way and not in terms of age. No, she's pretty young. She's 37. Young. She's not that old at all.
Nah.
But she just has that, like, brash theater vibe. I don't know. I love
it. So when did she get into drag? Because she would have been, it would have been, like, the late 2000s?
She did drag in Melbourne for 12 years, and then I think she's been back here for, like, three or four years. So, yeah, it must have been, like, mid-2000s maybe, yeah.
God, brilliant. A brilliant queen. Long live Spanky Jack. Who do you want to win?
Spanky, but I'd be really happy with Queen. I've known Queen a long time because they used to dance with Black Grace and they would rehearse at Unitech. So we hung out back in the old school days. So I'd love to see her win. And I think she's a fierce performer. I saw her perform in Edinburgh. She was amazing. But to me, watching the season as a whole, Spanky Jackson has been the lead character. She's been beloved by everyone, judges, all the other contestants. I feel like she's an unstoppable force and she has to take it out.
I wonder if
like the Australian production company are going to be like, hey, can you stop making these New Zealanders look so good? Because I think Yuri also came out looking incredible on the season. And it's like, once again, the standout stars for me on this show have been the Kiwi dolls.
The Kiwi dolls, eh? Hannah Conda is really talented, funny, and like I think, like a drag queen, you'd just be so delighted to see. I don't know what it is that I'm just like. It must be my New Zealand bias, surely.
Yeah, I think that's it for me as well. Because she's got everything. She's got everything you need. She looks great.
I have to call it out for what it is, which is bias, blatant bias.
If she takes it out, I won't be surprised because she's good, she's polished, she seems to represent a really strong part of Australian drag.
Yeah.
But I want one of the other two to win.
Yes! Oh my gosh, look
at
us.
Did you flip out when you heard RuPaul say your name, by the way? I feel like we've never talked about that on the podcast because I flipped out watching it just to hear him say, comedian Chris Parker.
It was funny to hear that. And it was so crazy, my whole experience on that show, because it was like the height of Omicron and it was just beginning to pop and they were really scared about Omicron if like getting into the set and taking over and basically having to close production. And I was like, it was like I needed a rat to test that out, to show that I was negative. But we're at a point where you couldn't even access rats. Like you had to be like, I'm an unvaccinated traveler. Could I get a rat? But so there was this chemist around the corner that was like sort of giving them out. So I got maybe 2 days warning that I was going into Drag Race and I was like, I've got nothing to wear. like I'm bronzed. I've got gorgeous long blonde locks. What am I going to do? And then it was like, you're going to just sit with Reese and help critique the jokes. And I was thinking, like, I'm not even a, like, I've got jokes as a comedian, but I wouldn't say I'm a joke writer. Like, that's a really specific.
A joke writer.
I've got jokes, but I can't punch up other people's material in that way. In the way that Reese is filled with, like, endless jokes. And the room was so cold. I've never been more cold in my life. I was wearing a silk Zambezi shirt that I borrowed a day before filming. And I was shivering. And I didn't see a single drag queen.
Oh, yeah, you only saw the boys.
I saw a whole bunch of people out of drag. Yeah. And no RuPaul, no Michelle, like no one. It was not a single drag queen, like not one person in drag the whole day.
How long were you there in terms of hours?
We're probably filming for 2-3 hours and then hair and makeup for a little bit. And it was fun to look around. It's tiny. The room is so tiny.
Yeah, I got a little tour before they started filming and I couldn't believe. And just that what the in between the two sets is like.
Yeah. I wish I got to see the workroom, but I only saw the main studio. And what else happened? I mean, I got a full bag of Anastasia Beverly Hills cosmetics to say thank you. And I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but they're fun to have. I've tried the bronzer. It doesn't kind of match my skin tone in a weird way. It's like a cream bronzer. I'm getting heavily into makeup at the moment, like in a big way.
Are you wearing
Hands on the. Not every day. I've given it a bit of a break because I've got an eye rash.
Oh, no.
And I want to clear it up for the wedding, which is just to clear something up for the wedding feels so bridal to me.
Will you be wearing makeup on your wedding day, and will you be doing it or will someone else be doing it?
I've got a makeup artist booked.
Sick.
Yeah. I want to look
sick.
Dewy. And blushy, like, and gorge, flawless.
Do you know who really looks dewy and is a person getting married who I'm still obsessed with to this day? Is Keira Knightley, age 19, Love Actually, when she's in that wedding scene. I truly think I've never seen a person look more beautiful than she does in that scene. It's unbelievable.
She looks quite pretty. I think I look
And for her to say that when she looks as good as she does is outrageous. She looks stunning in that film.
What's her job in that movie?
I don't think she has. I think she's got about 12 lines in the whole film.
A dream.
I brought banoffee pie. Sorry, I've got terrible taste in pie or whatever. They're all of me.
I think it's a performance art piece that you should make, and it's just you reciting Keira Knightley's lines from Love Actually. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've reached the natural end of this podcast.
Yeah, I've got to go make my Keira Knightley video.
Yeah, perfect. This has been a dream. I can't believe we've done this again.
2 weeks running. What?
Let's
and for
do this
all
again.
The people who said we fell off the wagon, we did. But we fished it out of the river.
And lots of people have actually been coming up to me. And by lots, I mean one woman at a nature baby sale that I was at, speaking of babies, because I was buying clothes for my niece and nephew.
Yes! Cute.
My fiance just bought me in. Now, I'm going to show you on the
what
camera. What do you reckon this is?
The quality is quite bad. So to me, it looks like a bowl of dry Milo.
We've become obsessed with splits. Do you know splits?
No.
Okay. Honestly, if I could get sponsored by them, I would take them. Oh my God, did you freeze the bowl? The bowl's cold. This is me to my boyfriend. This is so chaotic. We've got to wrap this podcast up. There's just too many things coming to me.
You need to tell me what splits are.
Splits is a product made by The Collective. Do you know that yogurt collective?
Yes. Yeah.
And, it's so good. It's like yogurt on one side of the pottle and like crumbs and bits of chocolate in the other. And you the crumbs over into the yogurt. And it's a gorgeous little snack.
Very old school. That was very big in like the 90s and early 2000s. And then they disappeared.
I know. And it's like when I saw them, I was like, this tickles me in an interesting way because it's a bit of a throwback. I love the idea of sides of a container. a yogurt snack, eating it with a spoon.
I love the idea of size of a container.
Well, you know, you're like, a bit for that. I love that. I love to eat like that. Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, I don't want it all.
I see what you mean.
I don't want it all in a trough. I want it in little bits of a container.
I think you mean segments of a container, because yes. All containers have sides. That's what makes them a container.
That's what contains it. So I see that and I think, fantastic. There's no spoon included, which I think is the only flaw of it, because otherwise it is a snack to go. Like, you could eat it on a plane, in a boat.
True.
You know. Not under the sea.
We don't really need to be making more temporary spoons at all. We've got metal spoons, and if you need a snack on the go, you can. I get it if you're buying it while you're out.
But to talk sustainability, we were like, this is an awful lot of plastic for these little yogurt snacks. Mm. So we've been buying our own yogurt in a bigger bottle and making our own knockoff version of Splits. And we've got little bits of chocolate, little bits of biscuit, and we put it on a dollop of yogurt. And he's made that for me, unprompted. And what I think is
I'm tearing up.
Yeah, this is why we're getting married. And what I think is really interesting, and this is why I am marrying this man, is I bought chocolate drops to plop on the yogurt, right? That now, they are too big. Like, they do not match the size of what you get in the Splits. Little old me was like, you get the effect. Chocolate drops, they go in. I'm not cutting them. He's only gone and cut them up in this version to make them smaller.
Unbelievable. You got to marry him. You got to marry this man.
In 2.5 weeks.
Ah! I'm so excited. I have no idea what to wear, Chris. But I'll get there.
You'll get there. Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly, there was something before the Splits that we were talking about, but it is long gone. Oh, I was going to say.
Gone.
A woman came up to me at the Nature Baby sale. I was buying clothes, not for my kids, not for your neighbor's kids, but for my sister's kids, my niece and nephew. And she was like, just to let you know, you made my day by making a podcast finally. And you've got more than 50 fans. To which I said, prove it. No.
You're like, well, you're one. that's so nice, though.
I'm going to enjoy my split in peace. We better split.
Yeah. I'm going to split from this pod.
You got to buy a split. Actually, before the next pod, can you buy a split and tell me what you think?
Yeah, and I'll review. Of course. Of course.
I love it.
Sam's actually house sitting, so I've got plenty of time to go to the supermarket and just buy some shit.
Where's he house sitting?
His parents are going to Aussie. He starts tomorrow, but for the next few weeks, I'm bloody hanging out by myself in my house. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, isn't it? So if you want to, anyway, we can hang out in real life if you want, but we can discuss that off pod.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male, and they're both gay. The male gaze.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.